Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. The Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bryce Young being benched 2 games into the season and 18 games overall. It still is one of the most stunning benchings I can recall.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Hockey Hall of Famer Brian Leetch. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. That's right. Brian Leetch is going to be on the show, guys. I mean, I know you're not from the New York metropolitan area, Chris. Is there a Patriot fandom in advance of tonight's Patriots-Jets game kicking off week 3?
I am wearing a green shirt.
Oh, I understand that. It's not jet green. You're kind of wearing more Eagles green today.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's more of a Carl Anthony Towns look you got today.
Me and Kat versus TJ now.
All right.
And Albert Breer, who is part of the... Prime Video broadcast tonight of Jets Patriots will be joining us in a few minutes' time. He's getting off of Boston Radio, where I'm sure many nuanced takes were had.
Very reasonable, calm discussions.
Very reasonable, calm discussions
took place.
That Albert will be part of, so he's going to come in hot, I imagine. Our friend from Sports Illustrated, now Prime Video Thursday Night Football's broadcast. But at any rate, when the New York Rangers were going through the Stanley Cup playoffs with remember Mike Keenan, the coach, remember him?
Slick back hair, yeah.
Right, yeah, from his Flyers days. He got the guy from the Flyers. Now he's coached the Rangers and Messier, taking on the Devils in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Rangers had their backs against the wall, and Messier guaranteed, and then comes up with a hat trick, and Mike Richter between the pipes. And the 1940 chance finally went away. I remember that, man. And it's kind of crazy. I can't believe it's 30 years. Dude, you know what? It's unreal. So back then, you know, when Keenan's hoisting the cup with the rest of this team, 30 years prior to that, you know, LBJ was president. It's really insane how this is a 30. This looks... it looks from like 50 years ago, right? It's crazy I can't believe it's just... Yeah. It's 30 years now when this happened, and Messier became the king of New York, which I'm sure he still is today. You know? Unreal.
And they say in hockey,
yeah.
Let's do that hockey.
The 1940 chance from all those Islander fans.
Do that hockey.
You know, we're going for their drive for 5 in the late 70s and early 80s, and the fact that the Rangers had to sit through all that, and they finally got it done. And a Canyon of Heroes parade with the cup. And they kind of want it again. But they got it once. 30 years ago, Brian Leetch will join us coming up on this program. That'll be a lot of fun. And then you got some things to talk about with Breer. Did you see Jordan Love is back practicing? We talked about it yesterday. Mm-hmm. RES Consulting, we gave our look-see.
The walkthrough.
And the walkthrough, and he was doing some dance moves, it seemed like. Or,
like a 1-2-1-2.
I don't know what it was, but.
1-2-1-2.
He does appear to be making his way back. And certainly one thing's for sure is we know the Packers did not put him on injured reserve.
Right.
And that's for a reason, to see if he can go this week against the Tennessee Titans. Or do you send Malik Willis out there one more time and try and run the ball 90 million times on the Titans D?
I'm also down with the Malik Willis revenge game, which I know isn't
He says it's not a revenge game himself. He's like, you know, I got paid every day I was there, and they gave me an opportunity.
Really classy answer yesterday, kind of downplayed it. But
he's not going to beat out Will Levis there. He knows that they did him a favor to send him the look at the Sam Darnold plan that he wants to be on, you know, the Baker Mayfield plan. Let's spend some time with McVay, the Darnold plan. Let's spend some time with Shanahan. Now Willis is spending time with LaFleur.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want, right?
Totally.
Now, I understand that Brian Callahan is kind of from that tree because he's from the Zach Taylor / McVay tree. But, now that said, he wasn't going to get an opportunity. And I guess he wasn't going to get an opportunity with Jordan Love. But sure enough, he is. Long story short, Jordan Love meeting with the media after his practice session yesterday, letting everybody know what's up.
Yeah, so it's definitely feeling a lot better. A lot better from when, you know, the injury happened in Brazil. So, you know, the whole thing is, like we said before, it's taking it day by day. Trying to see, you know, how it feels every day. And coming here, keep doing the treatment, keep doing the rehab. And, you know, was out there today. And just trying to take it day by day and just keep feeling it out. It's feeling better.
It's feeling better. Huh? All right, here's what you do.
He's not playing.
So here's what you do. You sit him one more week.
Yeah.
Sit him one more week. Don't even take him. Say, put your feet up. Rice. Rest, ice, compression, elevation.
Look at you.
Yeah. And please, I know all manners of rice. Jerry, Rashi.
Dirty.
Yeah.
You know, Cajun.
Yeah. Shrimp fried.
All of it. and then
chicken
you got
fried.
Then you got Minnesota at home. There we go. That's it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And if you get two wins out of Malik Willis,
that's
what we call a cherry on top.
Dodged a huge.
So listen, I know Matt LaFleur is counseling me, but just let him sit. Sit another week. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting ready to be part of Thursday Night Football's broadcast on Prime Video, which you can see right here on Roku, Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer. So let me just jump right in. You're reporting on David Tepper's role in the benching of Bryce Young. Did he have one? Is that naive to even wonder if he had one? Albert,
yes.
What can you tell me about that?
So I don't think he pushed the button on this one. I think this has more to do with how Bryce was playing, but are they always aware of what he wants? Yes. You know, and I think like anything else in any other workplace, you sort of, if you have an idea of what your boss wants, then maybe, you know, you act accordingly sometimes. Look, I think as much as anything else, Rich, if you want me to take you through like kind of what some of the other teams have seen when they've gone against him, the Chargers, the Saints, like the Raiders, and looking at tape of him this week, there are a few things that really stick out. Number one, he's not pushing the ball downfield at all. Number two, it doesn't look like he's able to see the middle of the field, which could relate to his height. And number three, his eyes are dropping. And this is the real death knell for a quarterback, right? When you start looking at the rush and you're starting to worry about getting hit, like NFL people will tell you, you're kind of done. And so the guy that they all saw in college, the guy with the fast eyes, the quick processor, that all looks like it's gone right now. So I think that leads to two reasons, if you're Dave Canales, why you make this decision. Number one, it's probably not best for Bryce to be out there if that's what's happening, right? And then number two, your first year coach who's two games in, can you sell Bryce Young being the best option for your team? Because here's the thing. A veteran player does not care, and you know this as well as I do, 80 to 90% of the guys on every roster don't know what team they're going to be on next year. So they don't care about your three-year plan. And you have to have a quarterback in there who you can sell to the rest of the roster and can sell as, like, this guy is going to help you have individual success, which will help you get paid. This guy is going to help us win. You have to be able to sell a quarterback to the roster. So I think it's those two things. Number one, is it best for Bryce to be out there? And then number two, can they sell Bryce as the best option? And I think over the first 2 weeks, maybe they got to the point where they couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, and the concept of David Tepper ordered the code red that I'm hearing a lot from, just because it does dovetail in with an impetuous decision, or a decision an owner shouldn't be making, because he should be delegating to football guys. It doesn't make sense, right? Like, this has been such a major decision for this franchise. I mean, Caleb Williams and DJ Moore are catching passes for Chicago right now because of it, and so on and so forth. And it makes no sense to say to the coach that I'm assuming got hired because he said, I've got this with Bryce, to say, you've got to play Andy Dalton right now, because I'm sick and tired of hearing from my friends, why aren't you winning? That just doesn't make sense to me.
No, especially after you're like largely responsible for the investment. Like, some of the people that were making that call, you know, and trading up, Frank Reich, Scott Fitter, who is the general manager there, those guys are gone now, you know. So who's left? Well, Dan Morgan, the GM, was there. So, you know, he's got some blood on his hands over that decision, and David Tepper. So you would think, if this was about David Tepper and David Tepper alone, he would want to try his best to see this thing through and like be right on it ultimately.
So then the question I have for this too is, was there consensus about Bryce Young, or is this just revisionist history because the other quarterback is a unicorn in Houston right now, with MVP and Super Bowl possibility status written all over him, Albert?
I don't want to tell you that there's any sort of like, you know, knockdown drag out over it. But I also don't think that every single person in that building viewed Bryce Young as the best option. I think there was support for CJ Stroud. Now, it would, in it with a call like this, it'd almost be weird if there wasn't. So I don't want to paint it as some sort of unusual thing, but I can tell you there were people in that building who, you know, supported the idea of CJ Stroud over Bryce Young. Obviously not enough of it, though.
So are those people still in the building? Or
that I don't know for sure. Okay. That I don't know for sure. But I mean, obviously some of them are, some of the people, you know, who worked on the scouting side are still there. You know, most prominently, again, Dan Morgan, who is the assistant general manager. I do think Dan Morgan was somebody who was behind the Bryce Young pick. Like, he supported the Bryce Young pick. I think that might have been a factor in him becoming the general manager, was that, you know, he was as invested in Bryce Young. And, you know, the owner, one thing he did here, it was sort of an interesting nuance, this whole thing, right? Like, I can remember going back to the spring of 2023, there was, I think, only one of the pro days that Nicole Tepper attended. I think she was at the dinner with all the quarterbacks, but as far as like the actual pro day practices or the pro day workouts, like, she was on the field for the pro day workout of Bryce Young. I don't think she was at the other pro day workouts, like the workout itself, which I thought was, you know, an interesting piece of context when you have the final result, and kind of maybe shows you where David Tepper's head was at with this.
Well, I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. If I'm making a major decision like that, you know, I'm going to have my whole family meet the guy. You know what I mean? Like, I want to make sure that he's, you know, the right person, neck up, heartbeat, the whole thing, and how he is around other people and my members of my family. I definitely would want to see all that, but. Again, I just don't know what's revisionist history and what's not, because there's no equivalency. We've never seen anything like this before.
Well, right? Tua?
But Tua wasn't first overall, man, you know? And,
no, but Tua was the top. Tua was what, the fifth pick, and like, they yo-yoed him in and out of the lineup those first 2 years with Flores, which is where the problem was, right?
Right.
So I think it has happened before. You know, And it's sort of interesting, too, because it's like, you know, I think the questions with Bryce were similar to the questions with Tua, right? Like, is he too physically limited to play the position at a high level in the pros? So sort of interesting there. That would be the one parallel, but there's not a lot. I mean, like, look, like most teams, I mean, and this is the interesting thing about it to me, right, is like, I've been asked a lot the last couple of days, like, okay, like, well, are they going to put him back in there? Well, if Andy Dalton plays well, no. Right. And if this was a bad situation for him and Andy Dalton doesn't play well, maybe the situation was part of Andy Dalton not playing well. And then do you want to put him back in there
right.
into a situation that got him in this circumstance in the first place? This to me is why you see it, why it almost never happens, right? Like why it almost never happens that you see a guy who was drafted that high at that position pulled out of the lineup is like, part of it is like, well, like how do we, where's the reentry point? Like, how do we go back on this? Like, and so, you know, when these questions come up, do we ride it out or do we sit the guy down? A lot of times, like one thing that can be, one thing that can kind of carry the day with those conversations is, where's the reentry point? Is there one? How do you stick the guy back in there? Because one or two things are going to happen. Either the situation remains bad and Andy Dalton pays the price that Bryce Young paid. And so then is it right for Bryce Young to go back into the situation that, you know, contributed to this in the first place? Or Andy Dalton plays really well. And in that circumstance, I mean, if you're serving the rest of the team, you don't pull him out, right? Like if you're Dave Canales again, you know, in your first year as a head coach and Andy Dalton plays really well, like how can you look the other 51 guys in the locker room in the eye and tell them we're doing the right thing when you're sticking Bryce Young back in there?
Albert Breer here in advance of Prime Video's Thursday night broadcast. He's part of it between the Jets and the Patriots and from Sports Illustrated right here on the Rich Eisen Show once again. So the Steelers quarterback situation is one of those questions where how long do you go with one? And the only issue, it seems, is the other quarterback, as Mike Tomlin points out, the veteran in Russell Wilson isn't available because he's not ready to practice fully, unless that's just something that he's saying while he's waiting for Justin Fields to really push the pedal to the metal here. Like, what's your sense of what is happening in Western PA in advance of two 2-0 teams, Chargers, Steelers, playing each other this weekend?
They love Justin Fields personally. I can tell you that. Like they really like coaching him. They really like working with him. And I think you've conversed with Justin some too, right, Rich? Like he is a Steeler. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that sounds weird for a guy who's been there for 6 months, but like he really kind of has the makeup and the demeanor of a Pittsburgh Steeler. So he's fit in really well. You know, like has he played at an A-plus level? No. But, you know, I do think that that staff and, you know, Arthur Smith worked with Ryan Tannehill and basically resurrected Ryan Tannehill's career in Tennessee. I think that they feel like they could like and Arthur and his staff feel like they could even do more with Justin Fields than they did with Ryan Tannehill. And they got to an AFC championship game with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. So, like to me, I look at this like the more chances Justin gets to improve week over week, the stronger the case becomes to leave him in there. And, you know, I think there are some limitations to Russell Wilson's game at this stage that Justin Fields doesn't have. So this was a very real conversation in the summer. There's a reason why Mike Tomlin didn't make the decision until right before week one. And like, I do think like that the longer Justin stays in there, and he doesn't even need to be a superstar, the more he shows progress week over week, and he showed progress week two over week one, the more he shows progress week over week, the greater the case becomes for him to stay in there. Now, the one thing about it, like, and I think this is like another thing that's sort of a twist to the way you handle this, is like, if Russell's not going to be a starter, can you keep him on the roster? And if you have to make that switch from Justin to Russell, like, can you do it? Whereas if you put Russell back in there when he's ready to go, it'd be very easy for you to switch back if it doesn't work, right? So I think that's one nuance. And I think that was a nuance to the initial decision too, where the initial decision with part of it was, well, if we start with Russell and it doesn't work, it'd be really easy to go to Justin. Whereas if we start with Justin, like, can Russell even be on the roster? You know, like, that was part of their decision-making. I think that exists now too, where it's, you know, if they give Russell a shot, maybe they get great play out of him. But if they don't, it'd be really easy to just go back to Justin.
I don't usually ask you what's at stake questions, Albert, but what's at stake with the Ravens and Cowboys playing each other this weekend?
A lot, I would say. I think the Ravens are going to come out of it regardless. It's just the strength of their program. I mean, it's what John Harbaugh's built there over nearly two decades. There's been a lot of transition on the roster, you know, this year. And so you lose Mike McDonald. And I reminded people this week, like, you know, Zach Gore is really well thought of as their new defensive coordinator. And they picked him over maybe making a run at getting Jesse Minter away from John's brother. You know, Jesse obviously worked with John in Baltimore before he ever went to Michigan. You know, Anthony Pleasant, you know, like was another choice that they had. He winds up going to Miami to be the defensive coordinator. Denard Wilson is now the defensive coordinator at Tennessee. So they picked Zach Orr over a lot of guys that were well thought of. Go back and look at Mike McDonald's second game in 2022 when he came over from Michigan, right? Mike McDonald and his defense got lit up for 42 points and over 500 yards in Miami. And there were a lot of these same narratives out there about Mike that you hear about like Zach Orr now, which is like, did they make the right choice? I'd say Mike McDonald worked out pretty well over time. So that's one piece of it. And then there's the guys in the roster, right? So Patrick Queen's gone, Trenton Simpson's in there. They think he's going to be an upgrade eventually. Is he right away? Maybe not. On the offensive line, they say goodbye to 60% of that offensive line this offseason. John Simpson's gone. Kevin Zeitler's gone. Morgan Moses is gone. They think over time, Andrew Voorhees, Daniel Falele, and Roger Rosengarten are going to be upgrades. But, you know, in the immediate aftermath, sometimes there's a little bit of an adjustment period. So I think the Ravens are going to be okay. And I think it's about those young players getting their feet underneath them and the new defensive coordinator getting more comfortable. The Cowboys are massively interesting now because, like, we've seen one really impressive week. And we've seen one really awful week. So who are they? With everything that team's been through over the last, you know, couple months with CD's contract, with Dak's contract, Mike McCarthy being in his contract situation, obviously there have been noise about Micah Parsons and his contract. I'm going to just be really interested to see how that team handles having gotten punched in the mouth by a Saints team that's playing really, really well. And I think going and having to play in the Ravens, play the Ravens in week three. Ravens team is desperate for a win. To be a really, really great litmus test.
I can't wait for that. And that is, you're not wrong. So before I let you go, the usual, like, what am I not asking you? What are you hearing that is interesting to you that would be of interest to me and the rest of everybody who's watching and listening? I'm just going macro here.
I just love what's happening with the Chargers, don't you? I mean, like, I'm not even saying this in any Michigan, Ohio State way. Yeah. But, like, I mean, it's sort of like I look at, like, Dan Campbell and the Lions. Like, when Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes got there, they told us exactly what they were going to build, and they did it, right? Jim Harbaugh, I think the number – I have the number. I wish I had it right in front of me. But they're at, like, over their last six quarters – the Chargers are averaging something like 6.4 yards per carry. That's freaking outrageous, like, that they're able to do that. And they haven't even, like, really pulled the lever of, like, needing Justin Herbert to be Superman yet, right? And so, like, Jim Harbaugh, like, we knew what he was going to build, and he's done it, and it's happening this quickly. And I think, like, the J.K. Dobbins thing is such an, like, just – like, just such an interesting, like, parallel to what happened in San Francisco, where in San Francisco, he had this injury-prone back, right, in Frank Gore, who became, like, kind of like the bellwether for the entire offense and, like, the heartbeat of the team, right? Like, Frank Gore, and you remember that, Rich, like, Frank Gore was the heartbeat of that team. And now you get to see, like, J.K. Dobbins, who's been through injury issues just like Frank Gore. Frank Gore's was earlier in his, you know, in his football life. Like, most of that was in college. With J.K. Dobbins, it's happened as a pro. But, you know, now they've got, like, sort of their Frank Gore story there. And the defense is playing really well under Jesse Minter. It's a really, really cool thing to see because, again, it's like that's a team being built. And it's happening the way that Jim Harbaugh had told us it was all going to be built, which is really cool to see. I also think Matt LaFleur deserves a ton of credit for what's happening in Green Bay right now.
No doubt.
20 carries and for like 150 yards in the first quarter when you didn't have Jordan Love and everybody, like everybody is at Lambeau Field up to like the very top of the stands knew exactly what they had to do to win that game, right? With Malik Willis as the quarterback, a guy who's been on the team for 3 weeks. And to be able to win that way was so freaking impressive, you know? Like, and to be able to come out of the Brazil trip that way. And, you know, it just, I, I think you can be really excited about where the Packers are going and the job Matt LaFleur has done. I don't think he's gotten anywhere near the amount of credit for the job that he's done going back to when he got named the coach there in 2019, managing the Rodgers thing. Like, I think he's responsible for Rodgers being able to get his final 4 years there, right? Like, that thing was held together for 4 years. I think it's a large part due to, like, Matt LaFleur's people skills. And now we see his acumen as a football coach. He's just, I mean, I think it's like just so cool to see how he's become this like complete head coach there in Green Bay. And I think it really showed on Sunday and being able to win the way they were able to win.
And Love looks like it's sooner rather than later, right? I mean, he got back out there.
I think so. You know, it was interesting, like last week, like, I don't think they didn't think he was going to play, but they wanted to keep it alive for long enough. Like, let's see, you know what I mean? And I think that's sort of the idea with him being week to week now is like, do they think he's going to play this week? Maybe not, but like, they want to at least give him the chance to be out there. And I think like one of the cool things, you know, I talked to Malik Willis after the game on Sunday, and it was really cool hearing him. Like, now he and Jordan Love have the same agent, David Mulugeta, and they've gotten to get to know each other pretty well over the years through that. And then, you know, Malik Willis also has a relationship with Sean Clifford, who they have the same quarterback trainer. So Malik was telling me how like the environment in that quarterback room has really helped him and really helped him get ready to play in this game because those guys were really helping him. So I thought it was awesome how like Jordan Love is like trying to make a case to play and trying to get himself in position to play in a football game and prove to his coaches that he can play. And at the same time, being such a great resource to a guy who's only been there for 3 weeks. I think it kind of shows the importance of the relationships in that building and how they've been such a major part of what Matt LaFleur has built there over the last 5 years.
Yeah, man. I hear you. Great stuff there. And just, you know, going out the door, you said Harbaugh is something of interest to you and, you know, no Michigan, Ohio State thing aside. And just to pay it right back to you, CJ Stroud is an MVP candidate, sir. And the way I'm looking at the Texans, we were talking about it the other day here on the show. They look like the AFC 49ers right now. That's what they kind of look like as they're beginning to ascend. Like, they're going to hit you in the mouth. They got weapons everywhere. And you could absolutely make the case, you know, and Purdy, I love, you know, they have better quarterback. I mean, this kid's unbelievable, Albert. He is spectacular.
This was so cool. Like, this was years ago. Like, I had someone tell me, give me this. Like, I was doing like a free agency rules column, right? And, he gave me the Alvin Harper rule. And the Alvin Harper rule was basically, don't take somebody else's number two and project them to be your number one, right? Like, Alvin Harper was a fantastic number two next to Michael Irvin in Dallas, but it didn't work out when he became a number one in Tampa. And there's tons of examples of those over the years. What I love about what the Texans did this offseason, Nick Caserio deserves some credit for this. They went out and they got somebody else's number one pass rusher in Danielle Hunter and somebody else's number one receiver in Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. And now those two number ones are not being asked to be number ones there, which is such a cool element to, you know, like seeing how Stephon Diggs is fitting in, seeing how Danielle Hunter's fitting in. To me, Danielle Hunter, right? Like, the way he and Will Anderson looked on Sunday night, like, they looked spectacular. Yeah. I don't think that was all Bears offensive line being terrible. Like, I think that was like what looks like the makings of an elite pass rush. So I'll bring that back to CJ in that he's on his rookie contract and you've got this window to take advantage of it. And for them to be adding guys like Stephon Diggs and Danielle Hunter to that mix, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if they can challenge the Chiefs, but CJ looks like a really, really special player. And it looks like that Georgia game at the end of his career at Ohio State has carried over and like a switch flipped, and that's who he is now. And we're seeing it on a week-to-week basis. The way he keeps growing, the way he's handling the job of being a franchise quarterback, it's really cool to watch that. And then just seeing the way that like so many of the young players have come up together, like your Nico Collins, there's your Wolverine, your Nico Collins, your Tank Dell, like the way those guys are coming together, Will Anderson. And then you have like guys who have real skins in the wall and Stephon Diggs and Danielle Hunter, you know, in the mix. It's just, I mean, I can't wait to see what that team becomes in November and December.
Man, I love it. Nico Collins catching passes for C.J. Stroud. Joey Bosa and J.K. Dobbins winning games for Harbaugh like cats and dogs playing together. Albert,
I will give you,
come on.
I will give you one thing from that week one, too. The go back, like, and I think this was the most underrated play from week one. On the 3rd and 11, the throwing catch from C.J. Stroud to Nico Collins to put away the Colts. Like, that was a championship play by both players, right? Like, that was a, our coaches trust us in the situation not to play it tight and run the ball. Like, we're going to go win the game right now. And CJ made the throw and Nico made the catch. And it was just like that play. I think if we're deep in January and the Texans are still playing, I think we're going to be able to go back and look at that play as like, that was a play right there that was a championship play that we could have marked that team back in September. So love where the Texans are. And yeah, like with the Chargers and the Texans, we got lots of cats and dogs working together for sure.
Playing together, winning together. Albert, have a great broadcast tonight on Prime Video, sir. We'll see you then.
Awesome. Thanks, Rich.
That's Appreciate Albert Breer, Prime Videos. You bet. Albert Breer for Prime Video, Jets and Patriots tonight. And of course, his MMQB can't miss of Sports Illustrated. Let's take a break. We're late, but I don't care. That was a great chat. 844-204-RICH, number to dial if you want to have a chat with us. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man, all new Thursdays on FX. Stream on Hulu. Just a real basic question. What the hell were you thinking? What are you doing out there?
You know, just tackling a challenge that most wouldn't do.
I would say. Why? Why'd you do it?
Just trying out my new bat booster package that I was working on this year. For me, though, it's literally like, would you rather live and die? Mm-hmm. Would you rather die and never live? So when I jumped it the first time, everybody started like cheering, yelling. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then I did it the second time. And then I heard this word, El Saltador, El Saltador. And I didn't know what that means. I left that one day. And then I started hearing that through the streets. And I was like, okay, whatever. And came back the second day, did it again. And they stopped the music and everything.
Get
and
out
they
here.
Just started yelling it in the stands.
To you?
To me. Like me now, I'm a football player here in the States.
Sure.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
They don't know me from Adam House.
Josh Norman is not out there in Pamplona.
When I get there,
yeah,
and they start chanting that name, so I'm like a hero in Spain almost. Not even back here.
Hold on a second.
It's bananas.
Let me get this down so I can use this on any host of shows this NFL season. El Satador?
Yes, it's like the jumper.
El Satador.
Like the matador?
Yes.
Like the matador is like the jumper. So
I would love to just 1 second in my life to have the words El Satador chanted to me. YouTube channel. Check it out. Please be part of the over 805 now 1,000 subscribers to our page. We would greatly appreciate all that. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Lots to talk about from Albert Breer's conversation. Mm-hmm. As we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. So it's the Houston Texans, man. You chose them to win the Super Bowl, right? You chose them to win
actually had them.
Or to lose to Green Bay?
Lose to Green Bay.
Okay. Yeah. So love being spry right now. It makes you feel a little bit better.
I like seeing that for my pick.
Because, right. And the fact that they've already won one game without Love.
Right.
The Texans, man. We may find out how quality the wins are, right, at Indianapolis and home for the Bears. I think they're going to stand the test of quality time, I believe. When you win a division game on the road against a team that you eliminated the prior year, right? That one lasts, certainly in week one where anything can happen. Cue the Bengals week one result. And then last week, the bang thing they put on Caleb Williams. And I mentioned again, the Texans remind me of the 49ers, the way they are built, the way they are coached. Obviously, they don't have an offensive-minded head coach like the Niners. But Ryan's comes from the staff, as we know, and they just look physical on defense at all three levels like the Niners. They have weapons all over the place with a run game that supports the passing game. And the difference might also be here, even though we saw Purdy have MVP votes last year. As much as I love watching him play and as much as I see what Purdy can do, and I'm a Purdy defender, you accuse him of me claiming him as a dependent on my taxes.
Your fifth son.
Just C.J. Stroud has a look about him now that you don't think there could be an inconsistent moment. Like an inconsistent moment where he makes the wrong read or the wrong throw or the wrong decision just like leaps out at you. You know, it's just like, whoa, where did that one come from? It just seems like he makes the right moves, the right decisions, the right throws, and he can make every throw. He can do it all, man.
I think for me, in comparing him to some of the other young quarterbacks, he seems like when he's out on the field and in the huddle and running plays, a 6, 7, 8-year veteran.
No doubt. You're just not sitting here thinking, you know, this moment can phase him, or we haven't seen it from him yet. We got to see him do this. We got to see him do that.
No moment seems
kind of done at all.
Too big for him.
The only thing he hasn't done is, you know, win a second playoff game. Like, honestly.
They won a playoff game as a rookie, which is usually unheard of.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
So, and you could see he's kind of feeling it a little bit, too. Like he's acting like he's been in the league 6, 7 years.
I like that.
You know,
he's extremely mature, man.
Well, the OG status he kind of brought to the post-game quarterback chat with Caleb Williams, and he's telling Caleb, you know, hey, don't take those hits. And Caleb's like, all right. And he's like, no, hear me out. And the look Caleb Williams gave right there led people to believe Caleb really wasn't up for hearing it.
I got his ass kicked to lose.
I know that. Again, and the thing that Caleb is dealing with right now is I believe, and I might be guilty of this too, is people are ascribing opinions to his professionalism or his maturity, body language that may be unfair. And that happened when he was in college. When you remember, he cried on his mom's shoulder after losing in a particularly difficult manner. And I thought that showed he's in touch with his emotions. And I was the one saying that that shot of him on the bench where he was gassed and head back. Like if you're got a C on your chest and you're a leader of the team and somebody's looking at you, it's like, hey, I've been getting my ass kicked just as much as you have tonight. But all accounts in Chicago is he's eminently coachable, likes to be coached hard, and that's not going to be an issue with him moving forward at all. But that said, there was a lot of conversation about what C.J. Stroud said to Caleb and how Caleb took it, and C.J. actually addressed that.
I had some of the best advice given to me last year, and me and Caleb, I was not trying to like treat him like I was trying to like little bro him or not. He knows that too. I have a ton of respect for him. I told him I had respect for him. But I had so many guys coming to me after games last year, and that meant the world to me. That those guys even thought about giving me advice. So I just try to give back to what the game has given to me. So I wish him the best, man. I want him to do amazing in this league. I think he will. I think that he'll get his groove. And once you get your rhythm, I didn't get my rhythm until like week three, week four. So I can see him, his game picking up from here. And so, I don't think he was trying to like, you know, be any towards away. He's just upset that they lost. I totally understand. So I have a ton of respect for that guy, man. I want him to do extremely well, just like any other guy until we play on that day. You know what I mean? And after the game, we can be cool. You know what I mean? But I'm definitely, you know, rooting for him and want to see him do extremely well.
He hits every note right.
Love it. Love that dude.
Right?
Yep.
Didn't want to hear it. You totally understand it. I didn't mean by the way, great phrase. I didn't mean a little bro him, which is basically, we're pretty much the same age. I've just got a few games in to my career, and I'm going to act like I'm Tom Brady all of a sudden.
Well, no, but he can little bro him because he's already put that full year in, so he experienced things that not just Caleb hasn't.
Exactly. Been. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But it's not just a full year. It's a very special full year. Yeah. And I think he already has, and I think he's picking up on it, but I don't think he wears it like it's where he has a lack of humility. Mm-hmm. But you ask anybody how special he's looked and how special he appears to be and how consistent he is and how that's going to translate into the coming years. He has mad respect from everybody. Kurt Warner loves this guy, and he throws around all 22 reviews that are positive like manhole covers, man. And he was talking about he was an MVP candidate last year. Mm-hmm. What a game this is this week against the 2-0 Vikings. What a game this one is. I hope Justin Jefferson is healthy because I think Minnesota's going to need every ounce. And I think Houston's coming for a lot of people. And if you look at their schedule, Chris, you may see your Super Bowl rematch in week 7. With Houston, you may see that in week 7, the Texans undefeated.
Ooh, Texans last undefeated team.
I'm going to maybe call a shot here. I kind of see it.
Ooh,
the way I see they play, the way that I see that they can play, the way if everybody stays healthy. I love what Breer just said, that you know, you don't take somebody else's number two and make them your number one. It doesn't usually work out that way. And he took a whole bunch of other people's number ones, and Danielle Hunter from Minnesota, by the way. And then their week 5 game against Buffalo, that's Stephon Diggs circling that one. Yeah. They took their number one, and they're not asking them to be the number one where they currently are.
Right.
And then you got Stroud. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, he's
I can't rave enough. Can't rave enough.
Agreed.
Maybe I'm calling my shot right there. I'll do it. So be it if
Texans
I'm wrong.
Texans last undefeated.
So be it if I'm wrong, and I will be wrong maybe in 3 days and 72 hours, and I'll be making a freezing cold take segment.
Long do they?
As you know, I'm not afraid of freezing cold takes.
How long do they go?
That one, I don't know. Green Bay could get him, right?
I mean, they might.
In Lambeau.
They might make it to week 10.
They could. At the Jets, home for Detroit, at Dallas. I mean,
none of these teams really scare me when I look at Houston.
Houston can beat them all, dude. Yeah. Houston can beat them all. You know that. I mean, not all 17 is what I'm saying, but Houston can beat the teams between now and Green Bay and be 6-0 at Green Bay and maybe the only last remaining undefeated team standing. And I'll tell you what, Matt, Jacksonville better come out with a dub and Indianapolis better come out with a dub because they are running away.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, this division's about
to be over. They're 2-0, and everybody else is a combined 0-6.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm overreacting here. I know it's just 2 weeks in. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Brian Leach, hour number three, my top five list as well. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hello.
Found that funny, huh?
Yeah.
I caught you by surprise. Yeah. What's going on in your life, man?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Wow.
What's going on?
Just came home from honeymoon, Cabo, yesterday. So.
Hey. Okay. That was nice. What do you mean I don't want to know? He came home from a honeymoon. Why wouldn't I want to know that?
Great. That's great. I'm happy.
There's other stuff going on that I don't know about?
It's not my place to say.
Okay. I won't ask. I'll move on. You're 2-0 leading our fantasy league right
now.
Yeah,
what's up with that? I am killing you guys.
That is ridiculous.
Who did you beat last week?
I beat Brock first week and then TJ.
Oh, you're going around the room right now.
Yeah, going around the room.
Yeah, I'm DFL.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I drafted Puka.
Yep.
And then I said, I'm winning the league with this move because I held off on a quarterback and chose Tua. And then I got 3 points from him last week.
Yeah.
So I'm 0-2 in DFL. I picked up Kareem Hunt. You know, by the way, we all know, right? He's going to be the lead back in Kansas City.
I don't think that's true at all. They had literally all offseason to sign this dude.
I know.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have signed him because they didn't know Pacheco was going to break his
exactly.
leg.
Exactly.
They didn't
need him.
Need him right. And think that he would ever contribute.
And now they need him. And
they don't.
So who's going to be the guy there? What
it's going to be a Steele-Pirine combo.
Let me tell you what's not winning you a Super Bowl, though. With all due respect.
Oh really? How about those wide receivers last year that were garbage? Did they win the Super Bowl last year?
I am
we're
telling you.
Running backs.
TJ, you'll be the arbiter here. You'll be the tie-breaking vote. Steele-Pirine or Kareem Hunt's going to take it over? What's more likely?
Let's put it this way. When I was putting my waiver moves in last week, I should have moved... Kareem Hunt up. I was mad you took him.
Can we bet? I'll take
back on the Rich Eisen show talking about the Kansas City Chiefs running back situation.
Yeah, I looked this morning or yesterday. I was like, crap. Rich got him.
I did. Yeah, because I'm dead last. Of course, the first person I'm picking up is Kareem Hunt. And I think he's going to – Sunday night he'll be active. And I think by the following Sunday, when Kansas City is at the Chargers, there'll be a lot of Kareem Hunt on the field.
Remember,
just up the road.
I say remember, Kareem Hunt scored 9 touchdowns for the Browns
last
year.
I'm telling you.
He's still very viable.
Sunday ticket, don't miss it. 7 early, right? 7 early?
7 early.
So, I mean, you need the multi-view. You got to put at least 4 up at once.
Got to have the multi-view.
Can't have last week happen again.
NFL Sunday ticket and YouTube TV. When you bundle together, you get the most live games all in one place. The multi-view feature 4 at once. It's awesome. You're going to love it. Sign up today at youtube.com/NFLST. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games. When you say can't have last week, you didn't like the 10 at once? You didn't like 10 at once?
It was, well, way too many. With the Cowboys game being on, I usually that gets the full TV. So it was hard to really pay attention. And then by the time that's over, I only got like 3 games left.
How dare they put the junior varsity in the mosh pit with 9 other? I mean, the varsity with 9 other junior varsity games.
That's what was crazy.
You can't handle that.
Varsity usually comes after the JV, so that's where.
What was that? What were they? The Cowboys just 1 of 10 games, isn't it?
Wow.
You're not just any old team.
I mean, don't they look at stats? Don't they look at the Nielsen?
I got to reach out to Irv.
Is Nielsen still a thing?
I saw Irv today. He's afraid that they're not America's team anymore. Cowboys.
Well, I mean, some parts of America, I don't even want to.
Boo-hoo. Yeah. Who would be, though, if it's not them? Has the Chiefs overtaken them?
I'll tell you what, man. The Chiefs,
the Chiefs are still
America's
team.
The Chiefs have fans everywhere, right?
Well, now they got to.
In the Patriots, the Patriots never used to, and now they have fans everywhere, sure. Right? You know who has fans absolutely everywhere?
The Cowboys.
The Cowboys do. The Steelers absolutely do.
Packers.
The Packers absolutely do.
The Raiders.
The sneaky Raiders have fans, but the sneaky everywhere fan base is San Francisco. Yeah. 1,000,000%.
I don't know as much as.
Although the rabid fan base of Cincinnati, I mean, all the videos of Joe Burrow yesterday just went nuts.
I feel like there's Bears fans everywhere. Chicago, big city, everyone spreads out. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but when you're talking worldwide, though, there's only a few teams that.
By the way, T. Higgins returning to practice today. Jordan Love, the latest update on him is he's practicing in pads.
Ooh, moving on
up. Pads.
We're going to get that game time decision, I think, designation
GTD.
For him.
Why wouldn't you do that to? Why wouldn't you do that to Tennessee? Absolutely, you're doing that.
Yeah, make them prepare.
By the way, that whole business is like you got to prepare for both. Okay. Honestly, it's not like one is, obviously one's more accomplished than the other, but it's like, if you make us think it's Jordan Love and we're preparing for Malik Willis. Totally caught unaware.
Totally caught off guard.
Like, we all make it in the media. Like, you know, like, you are just going to totally, like, zoinks?
Oh, no.
You meddling kids in Green Bay? I thought it was never going to be this person. Or let's take the hood off of the quarterback. Wait.
Our whole playbook.
It was Jordan Love. It was Jordan Love all along, you crazy kids. Zoinks? That was my favorite thing, too.
Jane Reed also back today.
There we go. Is Brian Billick had a major problem always with Belichick's, that coach. One thing when you deal with Belichick, he's going to take away the one thing you do best. Yeah. And he would always say, whenever we heard that, he'd go, what, the rest of us coaches would never do that to you? Oh, yeah, we're just going to let you do whatever you want to do with
the
best guy.
That thing that you really want to do? Go ahead and do it.
You know what?
Go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Okay, buddy.
What do I care? That's what he always said. So, I don't know, man. Jordan Love is in pads just to run the okey-doke on the Callahans down there in Tennessee. They're going to be totally unaware.
Hey, look, Eddie.
He's got a nice big brace on.
Okay.
You know, he's moving a little gingerly, probably not used to the brace.
Well, send that video home because RES Consulting's got to get in on
Okay, but he is going lateral. He looks good on that.
Okay.
Look, any slight, you know.
We got to stop. We got to have Team RES coverage in hour number 3.
All right, hold on.
Brian Leach is coming up of the Rangers, too.
Brian Leach.
Yeah, going down old school. Memory lane. Still here on our Roku Sports Channel audience. So he's going to send that home.
Mm-hmm.
What's another one of those things that coaches do that we ascribe to the cat and mouse, and it's never really any of that stuff either. It's always the injury stuff, yeah, you know?
That's the only thing.
We're not
going to
tell
really...
you who our starter is. Why would I tell the...
I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
God, is that a new soundbite of the ages right there?
That's top five of the year so far.
Oh, my gosh.
You might not like it.
You might not like it.
I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
By the way, has anybody ever said those words to Joey Chestnut? Ever?
No, I think Chestnut does like
yeah,
it.
He does enjoy it.
It's the opposite.
But does he care what's in the hot dog?
Clearly not.
No. As long as you put it in a bun and dip it in water, he's fine.
Yeah.
Break it in half, eat four at a time.
And this whole conversation started with me asking Jay Felly what's going on in his life. If you only told us, we wouldn't have gone off the rails like this.
That's what we do, though.
But this is the way we cover the National Football League.
Yes, of course.
Dialed. You know, that's Dialed. The way we cover it.
Dialed. Who are you guys playing this week?
I'm playing Don Bowie.
Don, TJ?
I'm playing Don. I need a win.
Who am I playing?
I'm playing the Wolf this week.
Oh, you got Colleen Wolf? She's equally 0-2, is she not?
She is 0-2.
Yeah, the NFL Media Group is not doing well so far in this league. What the hell? Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
A 2023 last place team will win a playoff game this year.
I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals to be that team. If you gave me
safe bet.
If you said two last place teams, I might say that's an overreaction. Come react or overreact with us. This one makes it much easier. Very so fun. Thank you for making it easier.
Well, tune in next week.
Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.